It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Well, looky here, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm finally back. For a while, it didn't look like I was going to get back, but I'm back. Those of you who have been following the show for a long, long time, you know that every time I take off for like a week or more, all hell breaks loose. There's always something of a very large magnitude that happens, right? Every time I go away. You know, this time the demise of Roe versus Wade. I mean, other things. This ridiculous stunt locally by the city council in an attempt to give themselves a 70% raise. That was absolutely insane. And, well, I was back in Indianapolis in the great state of Indiana, which is a wonderful place. Who would have thought? They became an open carry state, which had a lot of jaws flapping back there. But I do want to talk about the green and the beautiful of this particular state that I didn't know a lot about until I was there. But yesterday, Chicago, happy 4th of July, mass shooting leaving 6 people dead, 30 injured. And they do have somebody detained that most likely is the bad actor that did this. Also making news, well, I mean, there were so many things making news, was the situation the guy got caught up in over the weekend. Thousands of flights were canceled across the country. The air travel broke the pandemic record during the 4th of July weekend. It was huge. 17,000 flights were delayed or canceled. The very first flight getting me back to California out of Indianapolis via Phoenix was canceled. Was supposed to leave like 6:30 in the evening. And their excuse was, well, there was something wrong with the radio. And not a soul on this sold-out flight was buying it. I mean, it was damn near a giant riot in the airport. And nobody bought it. They thought it was complete crap. Eventually, I made it back. I had to overnight in Phoenix in what had to be the worst hotel they could find near the airport. It was terrible. But I got back to Fresno a day late, and here I am, you know. And California, has anything changed in the way of energy prices? No. The average price per gallon in this state is now $6.24 for gas. Illinois, for example, $5.32. Where I was in Indianapolis, gas was $4.59. And they were gavetching and moaning about it like it was no tomorrow. I'm telling them, well, I paid $7.19 a gallon before I, you know, came out here, and they'd like faint. Biden, you know, attempting to deflect all of this and throw it on Vladimir Putin's lap. You know, he's using the term over and over again that this is Putin's gas hike, you know. And he's absolutely breaking a promise that he used on the campaign trail, that he would never deflect. He would be solely responsible for anything that was his fault. And it's all his fault. But no, it's either, you know, he has to drop it at the feet of the MAGA Republicans, which is any Republican with an R after their name. And then, of course, Putin doing that thing. It's his, you know, it's his price of the exorbitant gas numbers that we're paying here in California. I mentioned Indiana becoming an open carry state while I was there. California, soon to change its concealed carry permits, which is going to reduce a variation of different rules, regulations, laws amongst the county. I will go through this counties. Somebody who will probably help me talking about that is a frequent guest. We'll talk to him about Roe versus Wade. We'll talk to him about everything today. And he's the former chair of the Republican Party. I say that, and you know, it's Thomas Del Vaccaro. He's an author. He's a newsmaker. He's a shaker. And he's going to be joining us at the bottom of this hour. We'll hear his dulcet tones. And we'll hear the dulcet tones of Steve Hilton a little later today. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, his regular slot. Steve was on vacation during my last week here, so we missed him on that Tuesday. And then I go away, and then he gets to deal with one of the substitutes, who I'm sure did a great job in my absence. So it's like I haven't talked to my Tuesday partner in a long time. And we'll have a ton to talk about with him, all this stuff that happened while I was gone on vacation. Man, this thing that's going on between Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis, it made news back there. It's making news everywhere, right? It's very obvious Gavin Newsom wants to run for president in 2024. That's what this is all about. And he's already picked out his opponent, Ron DeSantis. This has been a standard trick with the Democrats in this election cycle. They've done it before. They spend their hard-earned money defining who they believe should be their, you know, their enemy, their opposition in any campaign they choose to jump in and fight for. So it's a 30-second television ad that started airing in Florida yesterday, and it takes aim at DeSantis and the culture war, you know, his culture war thing that's going on back there. You know what that's all about. Fuel prices and fuel policies, all of it, you know, making him a target of Newsom. Maybe we can find some sound on this, Michael. You might want to take a look for that commercial. That'd be great. So there it is. Once again, there's a Democrat picking out the individual they believe should be their you know, opposition in that particular race that they're taking aim at. And in this particular case, there's no doubt that our governor wants to be president of the United States. And I think it's real obvious in 2024, Biden will not be there. And I don't mean he's going to die. He's just not going to be running. It's not going to happen. So it's going to leave a wide open field for Democrats to jump in there. And of course, the most telegenic and beautiful and articulate is our own California Governor Gavin Newsom. So why not get the jump on it and go after the guy that will be the nominee, provided Trump stays out, and that is Ron DeSantis. Hey, last night in your neighborhood, did it sound like a war zone? Oh my God. This sounded louder than a bunch of Russian activity in Kyiv in the middle of the night. First time that my dog, Elvis, who turned a year old in my absence on July the 1st, had ever suffered through anything like this. For about the first 10, 15 minutes, he was pretty wigged out. And then after that, he was fine. He handled it very well. But I feel sorry for those pets that didn't handle it well and maybe are still running around out there aimlessly, hoping that they'll make it back home someday. That's the sad part of all this noise on the 4th of July. It's all of the pets that go crazy, you know, and they never find their way back home. But it was loud last night. Speaking of Russian forces, excuse me, I have to sip my coffee. Good stuff. They've shifted to target Donetsk and Luhansk. And, you know, they feel that this is an area that they must have. Collectively, it's called Donbass. And in this particular area, there are a lot of loyalists to Russia that are in Ukraine. And there's been sporadic fightings between the Ukrainian and Russian troops, you know, in this area for quite some time. But now, you know, almost said Biden, Putin is calling this a win in this area is an unconditional priority as the war goes into its fourth month. And the Russians are still stymied and having a terrible time in trying to win this thing, which at one time should have been very, very winnable for them. And it has not been. No way. Our friend Serge, who we've not talked to in a couple of weeks, I think we might try to connect with him this week. He is in the midst of trying to put something together to keep the focus on this war. The media coverage of the war is beginning to die down as it's in its fourth month now. And that means there could be debilitating shortages for the Ukrainian people there in the way of foodstuffs and things like that, and without the necessary media treatment. So he's working on a very large project, and I would like him to tell you about it. And hopefully he's trying to tie in somebody by the name of Bob Geldof. And if you know that name, you know what that could be all about. So we'll save that for later, you know, this week. Speaking of doing good things with good people, at about 12:30 this afternoon, we're going to be talking with Dale Anderson. Ring a bell? You know who he is. He's got the Project Survival Cat Haven up in the hills. He's having one of his great charitable events this weekend, and you need to know about it because you need to go, especially if you've never been there and see this collection of big cats. It's one of the most respected and complete collection of big cats in the world. It's a remarkable place, and Dale will join us, and we'll let him tell you all about what's going on up there, and hopefully it won't be too hot. You know what I mean? So I'm very happy to be back. You know, I always get nervous and I start missing my job about a week into it. And sure enough, I stayed with my ex-wife in Indianapolis this last time I was gone. A lot of people think that was weird, but we get along just fine. It's Rory's mother and she's a radio person too. So all we did was talk about radio. She's still active in radio and that made me think about you guys and doing this gig. And I said, I need to get back, you know, and I'm finally back. And yeah, let's see if I still remember how to do this. On News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ, and ta-da, The Ray Appleton Program.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
It's free.
KMJNow.com.
I got to tell you that I had a great time in Indiana. I mean, above and beyond what I expected to do and experience. I mean, those of you who have been back there know what it's all about. Indianapolis is where I stayed for the most part. My son lives in an area called Fishers. And it's wonderful. It's like Indianapolis is like one giant green forest. It reminded me so much of England, especially Surrey, where I hang out. It was remarkably green. And I kept waiting for the humidity to hit. Everybody's talking about the humidity is going to kill you, Appleton. You're not going to be used to it. It happened one day. Other than that, the weather was just really nice. There's a particular, right around the corner, almost literally from where my son lives, there's a place called Geist Reservoir. And it's a big old lake. And at the lakefront are just homes everywhere, right on the water. Gorgeous, gorgeous, palatial homes that you would think million, $2 million, $3 million. Nah. 700,000, 800,000, 6 bedrooms, 6 baths, on the water, couple of boat slips. I'm like, you know, I can just about barely afford this. We might be able to get one of these, Rory, and stick you in this, and I can come stay here, you know, on the water next time. So obviously property values are down there compared to California. And it was just a spectacular area, this reservoir. And so convenient because literally it's just a few minutes away from my son's front door. And there are green belts everywhere. There are parks everywhere. They've got the right idea going back there. Whereas here in California, especially here in Central California, you know, what's a green belt? What's a park? I mean, we don't even know. I mean, we have no clue. But they've got a big clue back there, and they handle it very, very well. Something else that I love too, even though I did not get to partake in it, is there's like music every night. There are gigs every night, and that's what my son does. He covers gigs for the newspaper there, the Indianapolis Star, also sports as well, too. And, you know, one night he was off to Stevie Nicks, the next night he's off to this band and that band and all of that stuff. There's just always something to do. And I found tons of great restaurants there in Indianapolis. One in particular, don't laugh, it's new, and it's called Bakersfield. Yeah. And you open up the menu, and one of the first things in the appetizer list is Fresno tomato soup made with Fresno chilies at Bakersfield. And this is in a very old building. It's got a very old bar in it. There's like old picnic tables. That's where you kind of sit. But it's cool. And it's really got an eye, you know, of appeal in terms of younger people. Average age there, I would say, is about 34. You know, I was like Methuselah compared to everybody else there. But the food was really good. It was like Mexican food is what they're trying to do, and they succeeded. But it's very specialized. Like they had short rib tacos. Go figure, right? And they're just very different things applied to Mexican dishes and done very successfully, I have to add. So who would have thought in Indianapolis and Indiana, you know, 2,200 miles away, there'd be a restaurant called Bakersfield that just packs them in. And my ex-wife took me to a couple of places. There's like a barbecue place that was really good in this district. They have all these little cultural districts that deal like with maybe one particular theme. And I loved it. Again, I can't say anything negative about it at all. It was just a wonderful, beautiful place. I went to their zoo. Now, with the zoo in mind, it's not as good as ours. It's a world-class zoo, but the exhibits are so far from each other. You know, whereas you go out to the Chaffee Zoo, and it's action-packed. I mean, all of the exhibits are right next to each other, and they're spacious exhibits, too. I mean, we've done our zoo right, and we continue to do it right because of Measure Z. But their zoo, I mean, you have to walk and walk and walk to find these exhibits, you know, of whatever they may be. So did that, and it was good. The highlight, though, and then we'll stop with the tour of Indiana here, is in Indianapolis, it's the Children's Museum. 4 stories. This is remarkable. Remarkable. I can't even explain what you can find in this place. I mean, it's as entertaining for adults, if not more so, than it is for kids. It's just a spectacular, hands-on place with dinosaur exhibits. I mean, an amazing collection of dinosaur bones reassembled. Fabulous, fabulous. A lot of television characters, movie characters incorporated into different themes and displays. It's just, if you go to Indianapolis, and even if you don't have kids, go to the Children's Museum. You have to do it. It's one of the seven wonders of the United States of America. I think it's a stunning, stunning place. And so do all kinds of people, because it was just jammed. But it's a great place to hang out. Just a great, great place to hang out. All in all, I loved it. I had a marvelous time. The weather was good. Again, it's just green. Just green, beautiful, beautiful, lush vegetation. One of the high points for food. Some of you will get this when I say Church's Chicken. You got it? Church's Chicken. Uh-huh. And they got the sweet tea, you know, and they got the fried okra. I could not believe it when I found a Church's Chicken. And, you know, my ex and the young gal that she lives with have been friends forever. They never had Church's Chicken before. And like, oh, well, it couldn't be as good as so-and-so, or it couldn't be good as so-and-so. It was like a religious experience when they were having Church's Chicken. So we did that one night, and I put that in my diary. I found Church's Chicken. One thing, I got to add this, that I found really amazing about this part of Indiana, maybe that's the way it is everywhere. There's no fences between the houses. There's no fences. I mean, you get to know your neighbors because your neighbor's right there. There's no fence. No fence at all. It's weird. Very weird, as if it would be for them coming out here and seeing all the homes that have fences. Like, every single home has a fence. But every single home back there doesn't have a fence. It's just all wide open. And it's different. It's like neighbors just walk right over and start yakking with you. Maybe if you want a little privacy, you ain't getting any. No way. I don't know if I like that or not. But it would be just like me to go back there and buy a big home and then put a fence around it. And they go, oh, that Californian, that creepy person, you know, wants to be alone, thinks he's special. Huh? But, yeah, that was another deal. Went to a place, tried to get in. A lot of you recommended a steakhouse called St. Elmo's. Boy, I mean, just I got like probably 100 of you said go to St. Elmo's. And I could never get a reservation there. The people that own St. Elmo's have another restaurant called Harry and Izzy's. And on one of my last dinners there with the kids, we went to Harry and Izzy's. And they're famous for a shrimp cocktail. This shrimp cocktail is like a nuclear device. It's like somebody has a big day with horseradish and tries to punish you. You know, I mean, it's good. But, oh, my God, it's a little on the warm side. But you get like 4 or 5, well, you can order it by the number, 4, 6, 8, 16 giant Atlantic prawns in this mixture of horseradish and napalm or something. I mean, I don't know, but it was very, very, very hot. And the steak I had there was pretty bad, pretty bad. That night they were peddling something special on their menu called a ribeye filet, where they take a ribeye and they cut away the fat on the outside, and they serve it filet style, you know. And I thought, well, this will work because you've still got the fat, you know, the marbling inside of the filet itself. And it was as dry as a piece of sandpaper. So that was very disappointing. If you go to St. Elmo's or Harry and Izzy's and they try and push a ribeye filet on you, run in the other direction. I'm sure their other steaks on the menu were fabulous, you know. But that one didn't work. But for those of you who are trying to push me into St. Elmo's over and over and over and over and over and over again, I didn't make it, all right? I didn't make it. We tried, but it didn't make it. All in all, I give the state an A-. I mean, it's just a wonderful, wonderful place. The people are extremely friendly, very friendly. There's always something to do. And, they, you know, the Indianans or whatever they call themselves, I was talking to a bunch of the younger ones at that restaurant called Bakersfield. They complain there's nothing to do. Yeah, I mean, we're just kind of bored. I mean, there's a freaking major concert every night of the week. And there are probably in Indianapolis 15 brilliant nightclub or concert venues, you know? So they don't know what they got there. It was just rocking the whole time. Again, I didn't go to any of the shows. It just didn't work out. They wanted me to go to Stevie Nicks, and I just don't. I don't like Stevie Nicks. I'm not a fan. But it was a big show for them back there. And, you know, I realize I'm in the minority when I say I don't like Stevie Nicks. But always stuff going on, good food, everything. Green, 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 remarkably green. When we come back, after a little news update here, we're going to talk about a lot of the stuff I missed that happened while I was gone. And somebody that's going to help us get through that is Thomas Del Picaro, who's on the program a lot. You know, you see him, you hear him on television. He's an author. He's a soon-to-be movie star, former chair of the Republican Party. All around, he's just a great guy. And he's got his hand on the pulse of California. So he's going to join us for a bit. We'll talk to Steve Hilton today. We'll talk to Dale Anderson today. We'll talk to you today. And I'm very happy to be back on News Talk 580-1059. KMJ.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
It's free.
KMJnow.com.
Let me tell you, while I was back in Indianapolis and a couple of places there in Indiana, it took a cast of dozens to replace me. And I want to thank them all while I have a chance here. Christopher Gabriel sat in for a couple of days. Clint Olivier, all right, you know, always there. Diane Pierce helped out. Blake Taylor and Mark Capitan, our favorite attorney in Appletone, helping out with Blake. And also Nathan Magzik, the supervisor, with a shot there, you know. And all of them, I greatly appreciate sitting in while I was gone and taking care of business and minding the shop. And thank you very much. But I'm here for a while. We're not going to be taking off. Actually, not until August. And then we've got KMJ Cruise. We're finally back into those again. We got derailed because of the pandemic. And we're starting easy. You know, we're going to Alaska. And you can still sign up for that one, by the way. You know, just get a hell tour, and they'll give you all the information. There are still, you know, a couple of cabins available and still people kicking the tires on this one. And it's going to be a fun one. Speaking of a fun one, here he is right now. He's the former chair of the Republican Party. He's an author. He's, you know, dabbling in the movie biz now, you know, which is a very cool thing. And you catch him from time to time on the tube. It's Thomas Del Picaro. And my dear friend, how have you been?
I'm doing good. Nice to have you back in California. So there was no truth to the rumor that you were being recruited to run for governor in Indiana?
No, they're quite happy with the governor that they have who, you know, okayed open carry for the state. So everybody thinks it's going to be the Wild West shoot 'em up out there, which I doubt. But, boy, that was the talk when July 1st rolled around. I'll tell you.
Yeah, no doubt. But before we get away from Alaska, little known fact, my college job in Alaska was during the summers, salmon, and I was stationed 2 years or 2 summers in Dutch Harbor, which is, of course, where they filmed Deadliest Catch. That's their home port. And so each summer I would go up there and work pretty long hours. Dealing with salmon and smelling like the end of the world, but that's how I paid my way through school.
I hear that's not the easiest thing in the world to do.
I don't know. Look, I was working, there's 1 4-week period, I think this is my third year up there, where I clocked in 4 weeks, I clocked 500 hours. That's 125 hours a week. There's 168 in a week, so I was off the clock 6 hours a day for a month to see if I could hit 500. So,
wee doggies. Big
stuff. It's a better memory than a future prospect.
A future prospect of what?
To do it again, I would never. I'll tell you this. It's a great thing to go to Alaska for anyone who has never been there. You have the very real sense that you're seeing things that not a lot of people in history have seen. I used to go hiking up on our breaks in the Aleutian Islands, which are a set of volcanic islands, so there's no trees, they're shrubs, and it's pretty amazing. We'd go hiking up on, and we'd be on a bluff, and the weather would change, and you just have to sit down and wait for the clouds to clear, because you couldn't walk anywhere. You'd walk right off a cliff for all you knew.
Oh, good. Fun one. You know, this will be my third trip up there, and I find it very relaxing. If you want to go somewhere and just absolutely turn off your brain and do all the commuting with the flora and the fauna, Alaska is the place to go. I enjoy it. It's nice, but it's just very laid back. Very laid back. Unless you want to drink at Skagway or Sitka, one of those places, which are kind of legendary. Hey, listen, while I was gone, a big one, Roe versus Wade, all right? It hit the road. Now, you're an attorney. When I say this to you, I think you're going to understand it. The demise of this thing in the federal arena had nothing to do with abortion. When I say that statement, do you agree with it or do you disagree?
The reason behind the decision and you know, the other decisions that were made were this, these judges, this court's mark in the ground that they believe that government has limited discretion and limited powers in certain areas, including the First Amendment and kneeling on a field. And Roe v. Wade was their statement that the Supreme Court doesn't have authority to make a decision in this area. So this, to that extent, if that's what you're referring, this court was telling the world that we have limited powers and we are going to only exercise the powers we have, and we don't have authority over this issue. So we believe that we should not be involved in deciding how that issue is regulated.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this basically could have been about pigeons. It could have been about hamburgers. It could have been about buying a 1957, Chevy Woody wagon. It was bad law, and it just didn't work in the framework of with any constitutional founding, and therefore it had to be deferred back to the states. And again, it could, in my book, in my world, it could have been about anything. And it just happened to be about abortion. I think these people that are trying to single it out and make it about the A word and only the A word, they're wrong. They have to understand how the Constitution works, and it's not a living, breathing document that can be changed to fit the mood of the day. It is what it is. And I think that...
Yeah, you know, it's...
Go ahead.
I when people say it's a living document or something to that effect, I always suggest that someone take their mortgage down to the bank and say, this is a living mortgage.
Good one.
I can't do the same things I did before. You have to update it for the times and see what kind of look in the eye they will give you. Look, this court is saying we have limited powers, and that's just the way it's going to be. Now, this is a big deal on the left, a huge loss, because they have repeatedly over the years used the courts to get law that they can't get through the normal legislative process. And that's not going to be happening with this court, and it's not going to be happening with this court for a while. And that scares the hell out of the left, because they know they can't go to the American people and say, here's what we want. Here's the next social justice change we want. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're so up at arms.
The Department of Homeland Security about 2 or 3 weeks ago predicted 6 months of, domestic terrorism, horrible things happening. One because of inflation, one because of, energy prices, the other because of what would be the demise of Roe v. Wade in the federal arena, and that did happen. Do you buy into that these are going to be terrible times leading up to the midterm election?
I don't know how far Antifa, I didn't expect Antifa to go as far as I did. I didn't expect the left to put a siege on a Portland federal courthouse and get away with it, with almost no repercussions. So it's hard to predict how far they will go. But the polling shows that for a huge percentage of Americans, that this decision is not the decision that is on their minds. Inflation and the like is on their minds. But remember, it doesn't take but a small minority to cause enormous problems these days. So it's hard to predict.
Well, when you look at some recent polling on this as an election issue, it's not even in the polls that I've been looking at. It's not even in the top 15. You know, everybody's voting with their wallet, as they typically do, and they're voting on the economy, and that's where this is going to go in November.
Yeah, and keep in mind, and I posted on this as soon as the decision came out. For the voters for whom this is a big issue, they're generally in very gerrymandered Democrat districts. And so if this is their number one issue, this won't be a significant, it won't matter significantly in the midterms. I still think Republicans are slated to pick up 40 plus seats and a minimum of 2 seats in the Senate. It could be more.
Got to take a break. When we come back with Thomas Del Vaccaro, I want to talk about this attempt by Gavin Newsom to define a political opponent, something the Democrats have been doing more and more often with their own money. They'll pick out the guy that they want to run against in whatever election and keep their fingers crossed that that's the one that they're going to target. And in this particular case, it's Newsom and Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. We've got the commercial, too, and we'll talk about it with Thomas. You'll hear the spot. It's all coming up on KMJ, the Ray Appleton program, with a Ray Appleton, because I'm back.
Right now.
The Valley's legendary Ray Appleton.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, KMJNow.com.
It is good to be back, and as a lot of things happen in my absence, every damn time I take off, something huge happens. We go to war with somebody, and that's happened twice in the 35 years I've been doing this program. You know, Roe versus Wade, you know, hit the skids as far as being a federal issue in my absence. And this stunt that Gavin Newsom is trying to pull off, you know, to define somebody that he would like to go after in the future. Now, you know, I read this as this. Gavin Newsom wants to be president of the United States. He's made that very clear. In 2024, I believe he's going to run, because I don't believe there's going to be a Biden in the race to run. Not because he's going to die. I just don't think he's going to be up for it. The party doesn't want him. So in an attempt to get, you know, a head start on this, provided, you know, Trump doesn't, you know, run out and scoop the whole thing, Ron DeSantis is more than likely going to be the Republican nominee. So he started with a 30-second commercial that's running in Florida. You want to have a listen to it? And then we'll get Tom's opinion. Let's roll it right now. This is what it sounds like if you're a Floridian.
It's Independence Day, so let's talk about what's going on in America. Freedom, it's under attack in your state. Your Republican leaders, they're banning books, making it harder to vote, restricting speech in classrooms, even criminalizing women and doctors. I urge all of you living in Florida to join the fight, or join us in California, where we still believe in freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom to choose, freedom from hate, and the freedom to love. Don't let them take your freedom.
Paid for by Newsom for California Governor 2022.
And that is pointed at dear Governor DeSantis. What do you make of this, Thomas? I mean, what's this guy up to? Gavin Newsom, what's he up to?
Look, he's been running for president his whole life. He is backed by the Gettys, who billionaires in the oil industry. Good for them. What total hypocrisy of them and Newsom at this stage, because Newsom's allegedly against oil and green, but that's the reason why he's got where he is in life. So he's been a failure at every level. Every level. San Francisco's total homelessness went up, its crime went up. So there's really nothing he's ever done well in politics. But when you have Nancy Pelosi as a in-law related to marriage, when you're connected to the Browns, as in the former governors, when you're have the Gettys, you get places. And they cleared the path for him to be governor of California. And that's not his ambition. His ambition as president, as you rightly pointed it out. And so what does that mean? That means that he survived the recall, sadly, and he's laying the groundwork going forward. And he's a two-bit liar. I'll say that again out loud. He's a two-bit liar. He has been his whole life. And that commercial is laughable. For him to get out there and say that California is a place of freedom, tell that to all the restaurant owners who were shut down through right. emergency powers that right. he refused to give up. To say that they're banning books, really? Banning, you know, attacking, of course, he's referring to the law in Florida where you're not allowed to teach six-year-olds about sexual identity. He's of course, for that law. It's what he's doing. I agreed with everything you're saying. Your lead-in was he wants to set the stage and pick his opponent, and DeSantis could well be that opponent. And but it's an idiotic expenditure because there's not enough. There's no way he's going to get anything out of this in Florida. Florida is now solidly Republican. It's moving away from it. You know, it used to be a toss-up state.
Yeah,
it is no longer. It's Republican.
Period.
So this is. So the one word you used, which may really come to define it, is the word stunt. This could just be a stunt for him to create national attention, and that's what he was doing.
Thomas Del Beccaro is with us on KMJ, and he's going to be a good guy and stay a little longer, I hope, because there's so much more to
sure.
talk about, stuff that happened in my absence that, you know, he'll help us out on, and we'll take a breather here. Hey, if you want to join us, 490-5858. I mean, you know, you don't need an official invitation. Just do it. 800-776-5858 throughout California. If you're listening online throughout the country, you know what to do. 800-776-5858, especially if you're in Indiana, which I terrorized for 2 weeks. Loved it back there. And so we'll continue. Hour number two coming up. Don't forget Steve Hilton from Fox at 1 o'clock today with us on KMJ.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.